The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 10th through Sunday, February 16th, 2025. The commentary for February was written by Nikki Mathis, an Episcopal priest, wife, and mother to four-legged and two-legged kids. When she is not playing D&D or Cookie Run Kingdom, she's working as a rector at her Episcopal Church and as faculty with the Episcopal Preaching Foundation. The commentary for Monday, February 10th, begins as follows with a passage from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? The words of the prophet seem clear in terms of spiritual discipline. The divine desires sacrifice that is purposefully offered as a conduit of love. Does my fasting help me save money to give to the cause of the hungry? Am I doing actions, praying with my hands and feet, to help build homes for those who have no home, or using my privilege to give voice and equality to those on the margins? Deeper spiritual maturity comes when we practice the sacrifice of walking in care and solidarity with all humanity, especially suffering humanity. I know I'm more likely to give with that spirit when I am walking in care and solidarity with myself, receiving God's love through spiritual practice and in communion with the faithful. I'm a firm believer that I can't give what I don't have, and thankfully, God always gives first. From there, O God, help me to give in sacrificial acts that show up as real and practical love. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. And now the moving forward question for this Monday, February 10th, is what needs to change so that you can be spiritually healthy and able to give to and sacrifice for others? The commentary for Tuesday, February 11th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Ouch! This is some of the most painful hyperbole we hear Jesus utter. Jesus sounds like a shock jock, and I'm no fan of that type of radio show or podcast hijinks. Still, shock does have its uses. Entertaining, frightening folks, and grabbing attention among them. And who knows, maybe Jesus is doing a little bit of all three in this passage. Self-maiming, eternal fire. Jesus is doing some heavy hitting, going to great lengths to spell out the dangers of harming one another. We need to be wary of hands involved in the wrong activities, eyes roaming where they ought not, and feet carrying us where we shouldn't go. Jesus doesn't get much more specific than that, leaving us to fill in the very wide personal and communal blanks indicated in the use of these metaphors. We are to watch out for little ones, new to the faith, and anyone we might harm spiritually, including ourselves. What hurts one hurts us all. And now I'll read this full gospel passage from Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 50. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell. Worm never dies, and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. And the moving forward question today is, what is your gut response when you read this verse? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, February 12th. It begins with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. When our mother moved our church membership from our former denomination to the Episcopal Church, I was enthralled, in love with books on Arthurian legend. My 8-year-old self couldn't help but find beauty in the heavy, ornate vestments, the shining vessels on the altar, and the language of the Rite One liturgy. I was especially enamored of the prayer of humble access. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. To me the word seemed a mix between the comfort of my favorite fairy tales and the warmth of my grandmother's voice reading passages from the King James Bible. I knew I was beloved and made in the image of God, and yet God was so wide, so big, so infinite in wonder and beauty that I could never get near God on my own. And yet here I was. Divine mercy did that. Divine mercy as an expression of deep divine love. My little girl self still catches her breath at the thought. Now I'll read the full passage from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through chapter 2, verse 13. The saying is sure and worthy of full repentance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I am giving you these instructions, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made earlier about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, having faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have suffered shipwreck in the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have turned over to Satan, so that they may learn not to blaspheme. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and argument. Also that the women should dress themselves modestly and decently in suitable clothing, not with their hair braided or with gold, pearls, or expensive clothes, but with good works, as is proper for women who profess reverence for God. Let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, provided they continue in faith and love and holiness with modesty. And now the moving forward question for this Wednesday, February 12th, is, what did you think about God as a child? The commentary for Thursday, February 13th, begins with a passage from Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 60, verse 15. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. A friend once asked me if I could imagine a life without the threat and weight of racism. I was both saddened and shocked to find that I could not, yet happy and perplexed that my sister friend, a full generation my junior, could and did so on a regular basis. It had to do with differing life experiences, to be sure, but I also believe she practices a more joyful and faithful process of using her holy imagination to see what God dreams for the world. I think many Christians who partner with God to change the world for the better, like Absalom Jones, whom we honor today, do the same. Maybe they can imagine living in the reality described in the liberating poetry of Isaiah 60:1-17. For me, reading and meditating on this passage makes the possibility of living in a constant state of equality and human dignity seem more real. Immersing myself in these words, I can imagine what lived freedom in the beloved community might feel like, and I become empowered by the Holy Spirit to act on it. And now I'm going to read that full passage from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 17. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastland shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from far away, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor, I have had mercy on you. Your gate shall always be open, day and night they shall not be shut, so that nations shall bring you their wealth, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. To the glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify where my feet rest. The descendants of those who oppressed you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations, you shall suck the breasts of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will appoint peace as your overseer and righteousness as your taskmaster. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, can you imagine what a world of equality and love for all would look like? What small action toward this reality can you take today? The commentary for Friday, February 14th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 37. And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. For James and John, maybe the embarrassing, self-centered question that they cannot stop themselves from asking is a desperate bid to find some measure of security in a terrifying and unstable situation. It's a very normal survival mechanism to seek out consistency and security when our emotional and physical well-being is at risk. We want reassurance that whatever happens, nothing will really change for the worst. Our dreams can still be realized, and in the end, everything will still be okay. What I love in this story is that Jesus, even through his own pain, weariness, and fear, takes the time and effort to see his friends. He looks beyond their rude insensitivity and into their fear and confusion, and reassures them that in the coming times of trauma and tragedy, they will rise to the challenge, and their actions will be heroic. They will be who God created them to be, and that last bit is a remarkable promise in the face of their deep failure in this moment. And my every failure at many moments in this life. And now I'll read this full passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what is Jesus saying to you in moments of failure? The commentary for Saturday, February 15th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 49a. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." This is one of those stories that gives me hope, not only for societal transformation, but also my own. I find it fascinating that in response to the prayer of the son of Timaeus, Jesus doesn't walk over to him so they can talk, nor does Jesus chastise the crowd. He simply invites the same crowd who earlier tried to quiet the blind man to now call him over, and they do. They take Jesus up on his invitation to mission, his invitation to help bring the good news of healing and deeper relationship with the Godhead to this man who is asking for help. In partnership with the crowd, Jesus gives this man who is physically blind and socially silenced his eyesight and his voice. So maybe there's hope for me to unlearn the idea that being a moral and upstanding member of society means holding to divisions, judgments, and gatekeeping in holy spaces. There's hope for societal change when we let the love of Jesus guide us. Individually and collectively, we can help and heal. We can bring about God's commonwealth in this fractured and hurting world. What an exciting notion. We don't have to give up on the possibility of holy change. And the moving forward question today, what does this gospel story give you in terms of hope for the future? And as we reach the end of the week and the end of this program, we turn to Sunday, February 16th, the sixth Sunday of Epiphany. It begins with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, when they will be comforted." I especially love this verse of the Beatitudes, or blessings, pronounced by Jesus because it is so subversive. In many of our cultural contexts, work life, friend circles, sometimes even church, mourning is seen as something that makes others uncomfortable, something to quickly get over. It's almost as if there's a time limit for a healthy mourning, and those who finish the fastest win. But win what? Jesus not only blesses those who mourn with permission to have it take time it takes, but also reminds us that mourning is what comes in the absence of something, someone that we hoped would be with us. Mourning is an act of love, and to love and be loved is a blessing. Blessed are those who mourn, for those who have lost in our family and in friend circles and our congregation, and for those who suffer in the world. Thanks be to God for love and compassion that is not stopped by pain. Keeping our capacity to love is indeed a blessing. And today's Moving Forward commentary says that Forward Movement is a nonprofit and donates thousands of books and pamphlets to nursing homes, prisons, and hospitals. You can support this work with your gift. Find out how to make the gift at forwardmovement.org. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for Reflections Day by Day today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.